You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we are talking the Liverpool owner winning an NBA championship. And we talk about Ben Olsen and what the future of DC United will look like after he has been let go.
That's right. Plus, we talked to Frankie Amaya of SC Cincinnati. We talked to him after we talked to him at the draft. We talked about his favorite food, what he misses from Southern California, and of course, why his little brother was not that impressed with him playing professional soccer. That and more today on the Cooligans!
What's going on, guys? Ellie from Copenhagen here. You might not know who I am, but you've got nothing better to do. So watch the Soccer Cooligans talking all things football, politics, music, culture. Swipe up. Click the link.
That'll do. Yeah, baby!
All right. Let's go. Look, I'm bringing back the Viking clap for some reason. What is it? 2018? Let's go.
Oh, God. Remember 2018? When you could Viking clap with your friends and not be afraid of dying.
Exactly. You could high five without immediately sanitizing your hands, you know?
Be like, what's wrong with me? What am I, a daredevil? I'm just going to touch someone else's hands?
You know, I've been playing FIFA 21 and I see the digital fans in the stands and I'm like, oh, man, I wish I was them. You know what I mean?
Look at them doing the same move over and over again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever witnessed.
Yeah, yeah. And we also happen to be the gulliest.
Okay. So a lot to discuss today. Let's congratulate the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James, part owner of Liverpool Football Club. That's the only reason we're mentioning it, right?
Very important. Liverpool wins, and then their owner wins. It's a bit much.
Yeah. You would hope Arsenal, the same things would happen for Stan Kroenke, but that is very much not the case.
Please? Arsenal wins something.
Yeah, we also are excited very much about today's show because we are going to be joined by Frankie Amaya, midfielder for FC Cincinnati. Great kid.
We talked to him when he got drafted, and now he's on our show. It's beautiful.
Look at that. Beautiful, he's growing up so fast.
But
yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers did win the NBA Finals in bubble. Yes,
they beat Los Miami Caliente.
Yeah, that sounds like Gloria Estefan's backup band.
I guess they'd be calor, right? Like, ladies and gentlemen, I'm the trumpet. Cristian Polanco.
All right. No, man, that was my calling. I don't know why. I don't know what I'm doing.
You did miss your chance. You did miss your chance to be the brooding, sexy guy behind the lead singer.
You know, I could have found the tightest of tightest clothing. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I want these leggings to look like jeans and have pockets.
Okay. I'm living the androgyny of the 70s. Okay. Yo. I'm bringing it back.
He's the first musician to have an endorsement deal with Lululemon.
It's an honor, okay? And you know what? You can wear them just out to Wegmans. It's not even
they're everywhere. Yeah, you don't need them just for working out. That's your fault for thinking that.
Yeah, working out / Pilates, whatever you want to do. Yes, congratulations to the Los Angeles Lakers and all our LA fans in general. Obviously, Caruso is really the hero of the Los Angeles Lakers. No one else.
So if you're keeping track, Caruso got a ring. Patrick Ewing did not. Everything's great for the Knicks, folks.
Yes, as it should be. No. Yeah. But let's actually start with some big news in soccer coming out of DC.
Yeah.
And Ben Olsen, head coach of DC United, relieved of his duties.
Relieved of his one duty because he's been given another. It's weird to be like, you're fired, but also check out what you're going to be doing for the organization.
No, so it's
because you can't even talk. You can't even talk shit at your exit interview because they're still your bosses.
Exactly. So DC United lost to NYCFC in pretty dominant fashion. Very different from the last game against DC United where they took like 18 shots and didn't get any goals.
Right.
But the interesting thing with Ben Olsen, look, he's been with the club for a long time as a player.
There's been ups and downs.
There's been up and downs, but when it was good, it was good.
Things were good. Remember the Rooney? Remember those 6 weeks when Rooney was there? The kid was living,
All right. He was having a good time, but,
he was Googling, boats. Should I get a boat? He's talking to his lady. Should I? I think I should get a boat just for the lake. A little crisscross. Should I get it? Is it Chris Kraft? Not a crisscross. Chris Kraft. Look, folks, if you thought I knew about boats,
if Ben Olsen starts wearing his jeans backwards, I'm going to be quite excited.
He's at the press conference, I told you, I'm not answering your question unless you refer to me as Mac Daddy or Daddy Mac. It's one of the two.
Okay, when did Ben Olsen get box braids? This is interesting.
Benny? We ain't even afraid. I mean, we ain't even offended. We're kind of happy.
Okay, this is an interesting look, but go for it. So the cool thing, as far as any positive news, as far as who is going to be the next coach of DC United. So we're hearing a couple names. Is it David Wagner?
David Wagner, because he's American.
Wagner, okay.
Yeah. He's been coaching in Europe for a minute, and people don't really...
This is a Schalke guy.
Yeah, he's a Schalke, but he was in the Premier League or in the Championship. In Brighton before that. But one of the names that's popped up as a consideration is Jill Ellis.
Yes.
Who you may remember winning the World Cup.
Yeah. With ease. So it's interesting.
A little different of a team, though, right? Dominant women's team of all time.
So this is...
At DC United.
So this is awesome. I love hearing this, obviously, because Jill Ellis is a very qualified coach. But the interesting thing here is that she has not been absent of criticism, right? Even players on her team have said that we could have won this. We could win the World Cup without Jill Ellis. You know what I mean? So she didn't make everyone happy.
Her issue was they think that she basically just had the players to muscle the other teams.
Yeah,
like she doesn't have the tactical know-how or the ingenuity to fix the things during the game. Those are some of the things that were thrown at her as criticisms. Is she the right person to be the first woman to coach in MLS? Which there should be, right? I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what you got. If you could coach, you could coach.
Yeah.
Is she the right person? I don't know. I don't know enough about her skill. I mean, if a player says you ain't good enough, that starts to give me at least a bit of a pause.
That's really journalists, reporters saying whatever,
who cares? That's your job.
I don't really pay attention. But when other players are not really showing her that much respect, and or where you hear the positive things from other coaches, what poor players. I think there's a little bit of bias there because the players want to feel you're valued and respected, and that's going to affect how they see their coach. Maybe Jill Ellis was like a hard-nosed coach that didn't really take any crap, and then maybe players didn't like her, but she got the results. So
she got what she needed. Yeah,
exactly. So I'm
and hoping... Let's also preface this by saying Hope Solo is one of the people who came out and said she didn't like. So
yeah.
Hope Solo will tell you, Santa Claus is a chump. You know what I mean?
Okay. She'll put the Easter rabbit in his place. Okay, yeah. The Easter bunny. So
she got no problem going after anybody. So I respect it.
I hope she's interviewed. I hope she has a serious opportunity and consideration. Because I think when it comes to, who is going to be the first woman to coach in MLS, is someone with a real track record with trophies. And there are many other people in the world that have that, like Jill Ellis. I have the resume that Jill Ellis has.
Yeah. So she should at least get a shot.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Let's talk real quick about NYCFC and Alexandru Mitrița. And obviously, if you pay attention to Major League Soccer, you pay attention to NYCFC, you know Alexandru Mitrița has been sent out on loan to Al Ahly in Saudi Arabia. And it came very much as a shock to a lot of MLS fans, NYCFC fans.
Well, yeah, wasn't it like sure? First? It was like first announced via video from some like fan blog in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And people were like, is this real? And there was like no one confirming it or not. Yeah. I'm like, is this guy just a good editor? You know
yeah.
I mean?
It was like well produced. It came from like a verified account. And it's just like, hey, we. None of us have heard any of this. It's just like it's like hearing you're going to get divorced from like Woj, you know?
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? It's like you pull up Instagram and some life blogger has pictures of your girl at her wedding with some other dude. You're like, wait a minute.
Wait.
I thought you were going on a girl's trip.
You could have said something, you know what I mean?
This is a beautiful video, but I got to be honest with you. Someone should have told me.
Yeah, so we learned, obviously, that the NYCFC put out a statement and said, you know, because of the lockdown and quarantining, international duty, he would have basically missed every single game of the rest of the year
because he would have had a quarantine when he got back. So,
because when he got
and
back,
MLS has a match every other day, right? NYCFC's, you know, you got to keep moving.
And he also has a pregnant wife expecting his first child, and he wanted to be closer to his family. It was
which
kind
you
of
can
like
understand
the best kind of scenario for all parties. So yeah, we definitely like wish him the best. I think NYCFC fans were a bit stunned, you know, just because of like sort of where
the guy
NYCFC
scored five goals in three games.
Like a couple games. Yeah, just like you know, just. Like, stay a little longer or bring your family here or do anything else besides
you're like,
send
one of the backup goalkeepers. He'll watch it. He'll be there for your wife. Got good hands, right? When the baby gets born, you'll catch that baby.
Catch the baby. So it's going to be an interesting thing of what NYCFC is going to look like for the rest of the season. Obviously, they just lost their match against
New England Revolution
2-1 in a way where you could really you saw that game and you were like, you know what, Mitrița could have been good right
you know
about
what,
there.
You know what we need right now.
So this is it's interesting because now the club has to figure out they have an international roster spot open, a DP spot open. Who is coming up next as far as signing a designated player for NYCFC?
Could it be Ozil?
Ooh, could it be Ozil? Oh, that'd
it
be
could
interesting
be Ozil.
No, I don't think. Don't need Maxi and Ozil. Maxi and Mesut?
Yo, that's a fire midfield. Don't worry, guys, because we got Frankie and Maya when we get back right after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word for one of our sponsors, us. And
us,
technically you.
The Cooligans have now gotten into the mask game. Okay,
right,
everybody?
We are. Big mask. That's the business we're in, baby.
Look, if you want to get, obviously, everybody, you need a mask. Wear a damn mask if you want to get over this dumb pandemic that is ruining all our lives.
Right.
But so we decided, you know what? Let's make one. And I think it'd be kind of cool if it has the Cooligans logo on it. It also says stay safe and stay gully right on it. You'll be the freshest, gulliest mask wearer in the world.
Everybody at that Wegmans or wherever you go in as they're dragging some maskless Karen out and you walk past them wearing this will be like, whoa.
Yeah, you're just like with your Cooligans mask, you're just gonna be like, couldn't be me. Okay?
Nah, fam, I'm staying gully and safe. And here's the best part. 100% of the proceeds is going to go to charity. We are doing a collaboration with South Bronx United. They help the community in the South Bronx. They have a soccer academy. They do educational classes. They had a journalism class that Christian and I spoke at, and they were like, who are these two? They're not journalists. We know more than them. And I'm like, these kids say the darndest things. And also, they help out the community where they hand out masks. They do a lot of legal help for a community that could use all of those things, and we absolutely love all those things. We grew up in similar communities, so we wanted to give back. So 100% of the proceeds of this mask goes to that. And in fact, Upper 90, who has teamed up with us and is making the mask, actually gave us an even better deal so we could give even more to charity. So exactly. This would mean a lot to us if you would purchase this. Even if you didn't need an extra mask, it's worth having one, especially one that's as gully as this.
Exactly. So, you know, if you don't need one, give it to your child. Okay.
That's right.
They could use a nice gully mask while they're
put one on your
learning.
Puppy.
Okay. So pick one up. You can get them at soccercooligans.com. They are from Upper 90. They're a high quality mask. They you can wear them for a long time. They're really comfortable. Highly recommend it. Even if you don't need one, all the proceeds do go to charity. So you'll be supporting a very good cause in South Bronx United. You can see the description. The link will be in the description of this podcast episode. Or you can just go right to soccercooligans.com and the link will be there as well. So pick up a mask today.
All right, baby. We're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and we've got yet another star. For you fans.
Of course. nothing but stars come through.
I know you're
thinking,
but why do we need more? I'm here. But trust me, this dude is great. And he's amazing at soccer. He's not just yelling about it for a living. We actually got a chance to talk to this dude right as he got drafted, the number one draft pick. And I tried to put him on the spot right away. I was like, hey, yo, like, there's all these mics and cameras in his face. Dude just got out of college. All of a sudden, he's like in the spotlight. And I was like, tacos or pasta with chili, because he got picked by FC Cincinnati.
A lot of pressure. He didn't see that question coming.
Nah, and yo, everyone was like, oh, they did one of those things, and I was like, oh shit, did I ask a bad question? And he looked at me, he looked at the FC Cincinnati people, he looked at me, and he goes, Subway. And everyone was like, yeah! And I was like, damn, this kid's gonna be a politician when he grows up. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're so happy to finally have him on our show. Look at that, from talking to him at the draft to him being on our TV show, absolutely amazing. You've seen him score golazos for FC Cincinnati. Now talk to him on our show. Put your hands together for the one, the only, Frankie Amaya!
Frankie, what's up, man?
What up? Nothing much. Just chilling, you know? Happy to be here.
Thank you so much for doing our show. Let's start there. Obviously, the number one pick in the MLS Super Draft in 2019. Clearly, a lot of expectations are going to be put on you, a lot of pressure. How has this, how was, you know, from last year to this year? It's pretty surreal what's going on. What was the MLS's back tournament like for you? And with everything going on, how are you generally feeling about this sort of strange, you know, like beginning of your professional soccer career?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a strange year, you know. I feel like it's 4 years already. I've been in the league already, but it's only been two. But I mean, last year was a good year. The team didn't have the best year, but for me, I thought it was a good year. I started playing more, get more comfortable, you know, with the team and with the league. But this year, I mean, the MLS back tournament, I mean, I scored a goal, and for me, I think that was like it opened my eyes, you know, to see my potential come alive and actually do something for the team. You know, just playing is not good enough for me. I want to try to give goals and assists, and it really opened my eyes in that tournament, and I took on a bigger role, and I kind of established myself more in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I mean, it wasn't just like any old goal or whatever. Like, dude, it was like one of the best goals of the damn tournament.
My phone got hot when I was trying to watch it.
My phone got hot.
My battery dying. Yeah. Seeing that go in, taking that shot, like, for that to be your first goal and it be, I mean, it was just pretty surreal, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was like my first goal, but I mean, just all the pressure that was like let go, you know. I've been trying to put the ball in the back of the net for a couple of games now, and it's just that went in, and it like just took off all the pressure, and it eased me just being frustrated with not having any goals, you know. So that was for me, it was a surreal goal, and it opened my eyes to better things, and it gave me the confidence that I could put goals in the back of the net now.
It's funny because, like, especially from if you watched, you know, you at UCLA, or if you watch the soccer highlights of you coming up, you're like, oh, this kid's great with the ball at his feet. This kid passes nice. You know what I mean? He's very creative in the midfield. But you did that, and we were all like, oh, Frankie gets buckets? We didn't know Frankie got buckets. It was. Did you see like a sense of change of how people, the expectations for you after that? Because you set the bar really high. We're like, I wonder what number two is going to look like.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I scored a goal like that similar in college too against UC Santa Barbara. So, I mean, it was my left foot too. I mean, I don't think my right foot works. I don't have any goals with it, but my left foot's been the goal maker, and that's not even my good foot, you know. But
yeah.
I mean, I feel like I can score now, you know, and it gives me much higher expectations and confidence moving forward, you know, the belief that I could have.
And the big, you know, we spoken to a couple like younger players, some rookies. What is that? I'm curious what do you feel is that biggest difference between college and professional ball? I mean, I feel like everybody has a different sense of like, you know, where you get drafted really depends on, you know, really determines how you may feel about that upcoming season. But you being first and then dealing with whether it's the speed of the game, you know, playing with all these older dudes with families and kids and all this other stuff. Like what do you think has been the most challenging difference between those, you know, college and professional?
I mean, I think for me, it's like two things. Like the first one is obviously the game, like the speed of the game, the awareness of the game. I mean, it's changed so fast, you know, now you got much smarter players than every team. You know, every team has two or three killers that can just put the game away. So, I mean, in college, nobody really had that. You know, you had that one guy that could, like, put the ball in the back of the net. Yeah. But here, like, if you lose the ball, it's a counter, and it's for sure going in, or at least a goalie has to make a good save. But, like, yeah, you got, like, two or three killers on each team that can really change the game, you know? And for me, that's, like, the hardest thing because, I mean, you don't get no second chances. If you're down 1-0, it's really hard to come back. Or 2-0, I feel like the game's over. You have to have some spark in your team that literally changes the whole game. But, yeah, I mean, the pace of the game and the awareness, I think that's the hardest thing. But, like, now you're playing against much better players, you know. I mean, so there's some players that are really good in this league. I mean, Carlos Vela, I mean, that's, like, one of my favorite players in the league. But, I mean, there's so many good players that can literally change the game. And then the second thing that's really hard is, like, I mean, I was at UCLA with my family, and I could just drive home, you know, 45 minutes. But now I don't even know when's the next time I'm going home, you know. So that in my head is always there. And I live by myself now, so it gets lonely at times. You know, you got to – you know, it's a grind, and you got to stick with it.
Okay.
What do you play ping pong against yourself? Is that a ping pong table?
Yeah. It gets lonely, I'm telling you.
Yeah. You're like, I don't even want to tell you the times I've lost. You know what I mean? I'm playing by myself here.
Sometimes my left hand is good, and sometimes my right hand.
I love even when you just mentioned Carlos Vela, that sigh you let out, you're like, oh. Like, just know, like, defending against him, you're like, damn, I gotta go up against this dude right now.
Did he text you like, I see your left foot, my dude? You know what I mean? From one left foot to another.
I wish.
Yeah, man.
I would have been up here if he texted me.
Yeah. We gotta try to make that happen.
Yeah.
Frankie, you did mention your family a little bit and how much you missed them. I had seen that one of the times in one of the FC Cincinnati games, you as your escort, you had your little brother, which must have been a really cool thing to be able to bring your little brother to you and, you know, playing in a professional setting. What was that like when that happened? How was that for the family?
I mean, it was like a really good moment, you know. I mean, just having my family there is hard, you know, because they have to fly out, and it's hard because they have to work and everything. But I mean, that time my mom and my little brother came, and I don't know, the idea just one of the ladies that works there just brought it up to me. Oh, does your brother want to do that? I was like, oh, he could do that. I was like, yeah. And then he walked out, and then he was like nervous. I don't know. He was more nervous than me. He like never see more people. He kept on tapping me. I'm like, hey, guys. It's part of the game. He's like, where's my mom? Where's my mom? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know.
That's probably better than if he was like, this is nothing. You know? You're like, you hang out with 30,000 people all the time?
I mean, there was a lot of people there, and I don't think he's seen that many people. And in a while, you know, and then to scream my name is different because he has the same last name. So,
yeah.
So it's different. With my mom watching in the crowd too, is like an amazing feeling, holding my little brother's hand. Cause I mean, one day I feel like he's going to become a pro wherever he wants to play, you know?
What was that like just having your mother watch you play professional soccer? I mean, I'm sure she saw you play at college, but you know, we both have Latina moms who, you know, emotions run high no matter what, you know what I mean? But we've never been to the point where they've watched us do something as grand as that. What was that like for her?
I mean, you already know, you know, having a Latina mom is just different. They show the same excitement from you when you were 10 playing in a final than playing in a regular game. You know, it's always the same excitement. But I feel like now it's different because, I mean, this is one of the highest levels, you know. So it's hard. Like, not before they used to scream at me if I did mistakes. No, not anymore. It's just, I mean, now it's just all about having the support from them, you know. I mean, it was the best moment for me was when I went to play at LAFC. I had mostly all my family there and all my friends there. That was, for me, that was one of the best moments for me.
That's okay. Awesome. If somebody fouls you hard, is she like, mijo, lo voy a matar? You know?
That's not my mom. That's my grandma. My grandma goes,
your grandma's grandma, an OG?
Yeah, my grandma goes crazy for me. She's a ride or die for real.
Wow. It's like Frankie's grandmother's the first grandmother to get a red card at a game. Like, yo, this is crazy.
There's an older woman in the stands holding a flip-flop. You're like, oh, that's abuela.
So she'll be coming in throwing flip-flops everywhere. She's a sharpshooter too, so.
Yo. That's my mom, dude. She can hit me around the corner.
Yeah, she won't miss.
How are you handling being away? I know being away from your family is tough, but being away from like mom's home cooking, that can't be easy. Is there any alternative in Cincinnati? I don't even know what's out there.
No, it's hard, you know? Like, I got to be honest, it's hard, but... I mean, her cookie's fat, so I got to stay more on the diet, you know?
Okay.
There's too many, like, grease into Mexican food, you know? It's really good, but it's sometimes there's pros and cons for it, you know? But now I try to, like, manage my body and take care of my body more, you know? Like, now it's hard because we play every 3 or 4 games, and it's really important what you put into your body. So, I mean, sometimes you could have it, like, once a week, you know, like, to satisfy your hunger, but... I mean, it's hard to eat fast food and keep on like putting that into your body now.
If off season, you're back at home, what's the first dish you want either your grandmother, your mother, anybody in your family to cook? What's that one dish you think about as you're eating your trash salad because you got 3 games a week?
I'm just eating it in pain. I'm just like, it's like a cheese. It's like queso, like it's just like a
queso fundido.
With salsa. No, it's like queso salsa with salsa.
Yeah,
it's like it's so good. I don't know. It's just like cheese and salsa. It's like so basic, but it's so good.
Yeah,
it's the things you remember, you know.
Yeah, my grandma always makes that for me. It's just it's so good. That's the first thing, and then obviously going to the taco truck back in Cali. It's just different, you know.
It hits different for sure.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I feel like you're going to be our first guest to cry over like missing tacos.
I've cried over food on this show before, so Frankie, like, go for it.
Man, I didn't realize it was going to get this emotional on this show today.
If Fubo told us the show's moving to Cincinnati, I'd be like, can I bring pizza places with me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I'll bring taco truck, everything, you know? It's hard, but... You got to take care of your body now. You got to become a pro and you got to sacrifice things. Yeah. But when I'm in Cali, I do be eating good. Okay.
You're like, Frankie's back at the truck. You know what he wants? One of each.
No, man, I can imagine it is, you know, that jarring change of like, just like, you know, one being in college and then all of a sudden draft day. And then I'm sure the team, like, you know, physios and nutritionists are like, yo, this is what you got to do. You got to cut out this, this, and this. And you're like, yo, I didn't realize there's going to be this much homework. I'm trying to bang shots in the upper 90. What's all this about?
Yeah.
No, honestly, it's hard, you know, like you got to make a lot of sacrifices. Like it's hard to like start and like eating healthy, you know. For me, it was like, it was pretty hard because I didn't know what eating healthy is, and to come right away into eating healthy and trying to get used to it, like training your mind and your body and your stomach to like try to get used to something is very hard, you know. Just like before me, I used to just sleep late, you know, and coming in, like, you can't sleep late anymore, you know. It's hard to work at your best when you're sleeping 5 or 6 hours, you know.
Yeah.
And for me, it was hard to adjust to that, and now obviously I'm doing it way better, but before it was like nothing to me. And then coming into year two, I was like, oh, I gotta fix this and that to try to perform at my best.
It's tough, right? Because they have all this expectations, but also they have like data. You know what I mean? This is like why I avoid the doctor, but you can't. They're on the way into the work. It's like they're strapping you to these machines and you're like, oh no, you're going to know the truth. You know?
I mean, yeah, these body fat tests don't lie, you know? Like you can't say you were running if you come back with more body fat, you know? Something is wrong. I don't think it's me.
I cough and like Doritos come out. They're like, okay, you got me. I gotta go.
My Cheeto fingers.
You caught me orange handed. I'm sorry.
The problem with all those white jerseys, bro. You got the hot one. You got the flaming hot all over it.
Oh my goodness.
Just over your shoulder, I see a barber chair. I've heard the Frankie Faye thing. I've seen the segment. You've taken this wild serious. But there's one other thing I want to point out first. There's a piano back there. Is this one of these COVID things where, like, I said I was going to learn French and I never touched Duolingo? Or are you really nice with it on the old keys?
Nah, that's not me. That's my roommate. Piano's a little bit too hard for me. I tried it, but it's too hard.
Okay. I can't get into it either. So let's talk about the barber chair. Did you always know how to cut hair? Is this what you did in high school to make like a little bit extra cash, or is this a COVID thing and now all of a sudden you great?
Yeah, I mean, it was a COVID thing. I've like never cut hair before ever, and I got like two clippers, and my girlfriend cut my hair, and then I mean, I already had them, so I was like, might as well start cutting hair, and then. I mean, I got into it. I started buying more equipment, and I mean, I'm not like the best barber, you know. I'm barely starting off. I think I have like, since COVID started, I had like 5 or 6 months, you know. And
okay.
I mean,
That's enough experience.
I feel like I've been cutting pretty decent, you know, not the best, not the worst, but.
Did you give Jurgen Locadia that hairstyle? What's up with that, bro?
Nah, that's not me, bro.
Yeah, he's like, there's no, don't put that on me.
I don't know. He's looking like a warrior from some sort of movie or something.
Yeah. Don't look at me. I feel like people are putting that on me. I'm like, yo, I gotta set the bar clear. That's not me. No, he asked for that haircut, I think, on purpose, but okay. I mean.
You ain't said to him like, yo, I think I could fix this up a little bit.
That's the way he wanted it, but like, I was like,
he just needs to fade it in a little. I don't understand. Why is this
Pasuelo,
so like...
Pasuelo does the same thing on Toronto. They're just like, cut straight down.
No,
like,
fade,
for the fade.
I mean, some people like that. I don't know. That's not me, you know?
I don't know, sometimes
scare I just leave away. It like that. Yeah, I mean... Nah, I mean, that's how I started, but
okay.
I didn't know how to cut hair well, so I was like, that's how I started, but now I feel like I blend it decent enough, you know? Sometimes it's hard to blend different types of hair, but...
Who was the first teammate to trust you with their hair?
Teammate? I mean, the first teammate was Harris Madunian.
Yeah,
he was the first one, but it was the equipment manager before him. But teammate was Harris. I mean, it came out like the Pozuelo haircut. That's how it came out. I cut it in quarantine, and it looked better. And I was like, wow, that was me.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. And then he goes and scores an Olympico. So maybe it's because of the haircut you gave him.
Nah, that was a week ago or two. I didn't give him a haircut.
Yeah, maybe you do that. Okay.
That was in New York too.
In
the bubble. Yeah. Maybe it was my magic hand. Oh.
See?
All right.
What was that? Was that? I mean, that was just an insane goal. What did that do for the team? Look, we know FC Cincinnati, you know, has some tough results from time to time. Obviously, as a new team, trying to figure things out, new coach, everything like that. What did that win do for you guys? And far, how do you feel about the sort of the season on a personal level and then on a team level?
I mean, that win was – those back-to-back wins were really good, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it counted towards the league, so it was really good. But, I mean, just having back-to-back wins, we haven't won in a while. So I was like, man, this feels good, you know? Like, I could get used to this feeling.
Yeah, dude.
Like, I mean, because sometimes last year I walked off disappointed, you know, because we would lose by a couple of goals, you know? Like, it's just the facts out there, you know? I've walked out disappointed. I like tried my best and we couldn't get results, you know, and it was very frustrating for me. And I mean, this year it's the whole dynamic has changed, you know. I mean, we're tying games and obviously we're losing some games too, but I mean, I feel like as a team, we've improved much. I mean, looking into this season, I mean, I feel like we could have won more games. We've missed some easy opportunities and like just scoring one goal, it helps your whole team, helps the adrenaline, helps your energy, helps everything, you know. It changes your mindset. Oh, we're up 1-0, we could do this. We just have to keep it like that. Sometimes like the team's gonna tie or beat us, you know, but having one goal in our advantage is a big plus for us. But I mean, we haven't been able to put the ball in the back of the net, but I feel like we've been playing better as a team and improving much more than last year.
Yeah, it seems like the team is gelling so much more. And it seems you guys also, like, when Madunyanin scored that Olympic goal, it seemed like everyone rushed over to, like, you guys all get along. The spirit of the club and the spirit of the players together, that seems to be in a better place. Is that the same experience you're having as to what we're seeing?
Yeah, I mean, like, now we can compete with teams. It's just, we just don't finish chances, and that's very hard in this league, you know. Once, like, we get it, like, having clean sheets is very good and everything. But at the end of the day, we don't want to tie games, you know?
Yeah.
We want to win games. And having one goal is a big advantage for us. And we haven't been able to put them back in the net. But
I'm curious. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm curious. I want to make sure we talk about this because it was a kind of humorous moment. I'm wondering what it was like for the players. But your head coach Yap Stam, when he was announced, remember the wrong photo was used of him. It was a different guy. But what did the players? What did the locker room think about that when that happened?
I mean, we were just confused because, you know. Media just has one job, and how do you mess that up? You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's all we were thinking. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I just looked at it on Twitter, like, and I thought it was him because I've like never seen him. You know, like I've never seen him because I just don't know of him. You know,
mm-hmm.
And like I looked up on YouTube, and then I was like, hey, yo, this is not the right guy. And then I was like, whoa, what the hell is happening? And I don't know. We were just confused. Like, and we were kind of like making fun of them because literally they only had one job.
You got to roast them a little bit.
Security must should have messed with them. Like, I don't think this is you, bro.
That was kind of embarrassing for them. But I mean, you know, nobody's perfect, so.
Yeah, it's all good. As far as him as a coach, now that you've worked with him for a while, I know, you know, it was challenging for him going into, you know, the bubble and doing all these things as a first-year head coach. What have you kind of, what have you learned from him, especially given that, like, Dutch, you know, style that he's bringing to the table?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you can see as a player, he was an amazing player, you know, and he was world class and he played at big clubs. But as a coach, I mean, he's a very good coach too. I mean, I like him because he gives me the freedom to express myself and obviously he's going to try to coach me at times, but like he gives me the freedom to play. And as a player, that's all you ask for. Sometimes when you're doing something wrong, he's going to tell me, you know, what you could improve on. And that's what I like about him. But the most important thing is he gives me the freedom to play and I give him feedback on what the team like needs to improve on. And he gives me feedback on what he sees from the outside. And for me, I think that's a very good relationship between me and the coach.
All right.
That's great. Okay. Yeah, it's great way to develop. Now, Frankie, we have our own supporters group. I know you guys have a couple supporters group. We also have our own. They're called Gully Squad. All right. And they get a chance to ask a couple questions. We got one from Felix Bilal. He wanted to know, what did it feel like to know that the team had that much faith in you to pick you first in the draft? And what were your emotions like at that moment, which we got to see you right after? It looked like you were in a little bit of a shock. But what was that? What was that? How did that feel to know that you were good enough that a team was like, this is the person we got to spend the first draft pick on?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was an amazing feeling. It just felt so good because, I mean, it shows like all my hard work has paid off, you know, and I'm barely getting started. And to have Cincinnati pick me and believe in me, it shows. And that's why I fight for this city, you know. I literally bust my butt off for this city. And this is what I do because they drafted me, they believed me. And if they believe in me, I gotta do something to show them that they picked the right person. And I mean, it was one of the most amazing feelings to get drafted and have my family there and see. And to me, it meant the world to me.
Yeah, and you're also the last first draft pick that where there's gonna be an actual draft in MLS Super Draft.
Yeah,
you're forever draft, gonna be that guy.
Yeah, no, that's pretty sad, you know, for the next guys like being drafted. Because I mean, to be on a stage and say something, it's really nice, you know, just to express yourself and go on that stage. It feels very nice, and to have the virtual now, it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah,
coming up, were you, because we talk to a lot of players. Some of them were the ones that were getting looked at from the beginning, and they were always getting, like, you know, talked to by college agents or sports or getting pulled into academies. What was your come up like? Where did you have a lot of opportunities coming up, or was it something that you sort of fought your way into something like UCLA?
No, I mean, I had to work for my stuff, you know. I wasn't as you can tell, I'm not the biggest, the strongest, the fastest guy. You know, I had to work, and coming up, I didn't have no opportunities. I mean, in high school, I played for Paddy Doerr's Academy, and it wasn't then until my senior year I started getting calls up to the national team. And then that's when I started, I mean, I committed to UCLA like late into my junior year, and that's when I barely started to getting looked at, you know. And to have UCLA look at me, it just opened the doors for every other school, you know. But I feel like UCLA was the opportunity for me and the best place to go, and I made the most out of it. And after that, I mean, even with the youth national team, a lot of players are already selected, and they have a bunch of camps there. And for me, that was like my first camp my senior year, so I had to work to try to get into that team and get an opportunity with the U-20 under Tab. And for me, it was trying to take another guy's spot, you know, and having to do better. And I mean, I had to work for that, and then I got called up to the U-20 qualifiers, and I had to work for my position there, and I did good there, and I started getting looked at with the draft.
Okay. All right. We have another question from Eric Ransbottom, who is, I believe, an FC Cincinnati supporter. So this is dope that we have FC Cincinnati love in Gully Squad. He asks, first impressions of the soccer culture in Cincy. And then he also asks, how do you see the West End Stadium helping build more of an identity for the club?
Yeah, I mean, the first time I played, I mean, the first time I just witnessed from the outside was a Portland game. I didn't get called up, so I witnessed from the outside, and I thought for me it was amazing. You know, it was cold, and people were still there. I'm like, oh, this is crazy, you know, because it was cold. I was freezing.
Yeah, this isn't Southern California.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Where Frankie's from, they shut everything down if it goes below 65. So he's like, this is impressive.
Honestly, I'm like, yo, it's cold out here, you know, and for that time I saw it, but then the first time I played was. It was even colder in Philly when we played it against Philly. I'm like, yo, why is there people here? I literally couldn't feel my hands or my legs, and people were still there. But the first time I like played when there was like not as cold was very good. There was like maybe 28,000, and for me it felt amazing. And to have the new stadium, the West End Stadium, is going to be very nice. It's going to be a very nice stadium. And the people are going to love it. You know, it's going to be world-class stadium that a lot of teams have now, like Minnesota, LAFC. I mean, it's going to be up there. And I think it's going to change the culture of soccer in Cincinnati.
When you look at sort of the development that you've had, and we've asked this question a couple times, but a lot of times people say they think the draft is not necessary anymore. What are your thoughts on that? Because you came through the draft. Would you have had an opportunity if it wasn't for the draft? What are your thoughts?
Nah, for me, I think the draft is necessary. You know, there's a lot of players that play in. Well, now I think the whole dynamic is changing with the academy. You know, there's only MLS teams. My academy wasn't an MLS team, so it's hard. I don't know what to say now. You know, I don't know how kids like me are going to make it, because for me, it was academy, college, and then get drafted. So I couldn't sign a homegrown anywhere. You know, I had to join like the LA Galaxy or San Jose Earthquake teams that were in Cali, you know, and it's hard, you know. For me, it gave me the opportunity to show myself and become who I am, you know.
Yeah, yeah. The one other question I wanted to ask is, we had heard from one of your peoples about the fact that you had the presidential debate. This was the first presidential debate that you had, I guess, really watched or paid attention to. Obviously, you're a young dude. I'm curious because we're always talking to, you know, people our age, just older people about politics. But I'm wondering how did you react to seeing that? Because I know a lot of people in general, you know, all debates are usually not like that.
They're not all like that.
Yeah.
What was your sort of response to seeing that go down?
For me, I don't know. It was shocking, you know. Like, it was my first debate. I'm 18, now I could vote. Well, now I'm 20, but, like, now it's the first time I could vote. So it's going to be a good time, you know. But for me, watching that I was, like, laughing. I thought it was pretty funny, you know. It's like, I thought it was, like, two little kids, like, arguing with each other. Like, they were literally just, like, calling out each other, you know, like a roast session. Like, I don't know what to expect. Like, I thought, I don't know if it was like that, but, like, I mean, I asked some of the guys on the team and they said it's not usually like that. And I was like, I don't know what was going on now, you know. So, like,
we're both
professional stand-ups. We've taken part in roasts, and generally even comedians will wait for the other person to finish before we tell our roast joke.
There's a little bit more respect in a roast than a presidential debate.
I know. I just thought it was, like, childish, you know. Like, if they wanted to, like, roast, they should have got, like, Snoop Dogg and all these guys. Like, the Justin Bieber roast, you know. But,
It's just good to see because these, you know, these two debaters are, what, 60 years older than you? And and this is how they're behaving. And you're like, hey, you guys need to be a little bit more mature, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like common sense, you know? It's just like, I'm not going to interrupt you when you're talking. You're not. I mean, it was just, like, sad to see that, you know? But, like, it was kind of funny at the same time. So I was like...
Frankie, thank you. Keep bringing you are the future of this country, so please keep bringing
that. Frankie, we vote for you, Frankie. How about that?
Okay, you are more qualified to be the president of the United States than those two. Okay, so.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, hopefully one day, one person.
There you go.
Maturity.
Yeah.
First, the mayor of Cincinnati first, and then you'll get there. Don't worry.
Taco trucks in every corner.
All right. Thank you again to everyone for joining us today and watching the show. Thank you so much to Frankie Amaya, future presidential candidate, joining us today.
Right.
Okay, we got a politician on our hands, I think. Frankie, is there anything you want to let people know about before we end the show today?
Yeah, just follow me on my Instagram _ Frankie Amaya, and then my barber _ Frankie Fades. Make sure you get that. Book your appointment as quick as possible.
Okay.
always wear a mask.
Yo, definitely. Always 100%. Wear a mask. And Jurgen Locadia better make an appointment. That's all I'm saying.
We're going to make it for him, to be completely honest with you.
He needs help. All right, everybody. So, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow @SoccerCooligans on all social media platforms. Follow us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/soccercooligans. We've got a lot of fun stuff there. Follow @FuboSports and make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the show. All right, Frankie, let us end the show the way we normally do. So thank you so much for joining us today. So for Frankie Amaya, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!